You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, it is Dom time. And boy, it's amazing. The usual suspects all jumping into the ring. And I'll give you all them piling on here. You can't say that about the Pope. You can't say that about the Cardinals, as President Trump did. Now, if you missed yesterday, I still think we have breaking news, though. There might be another round of negotiations being set up due to the fact that Trump may have boxed in the Iranians, even though they seem to be letting some ships through. It seems like it's imminent that we have more peace talks. And it still comes down, but no ship, CENTCOM is reporting, got past the blockade in the first 24 hours. That's their report. So Trump just announcing more talks. The talk is they can't have the nuclear material. And I want to begin with that by the spectacle we're seeing play out. Look, a couple of things. And I know you're with me, even if, you can't say anything about it. Trump should not have done, reposted, it's not a doctor. Stop it already, playing with the Jesus. Don't do that. For more reasons, and it's just blasphemous. For strategy. Point two. I so salute taking on the drive-by clerics. That's what these people are, the drive-by. They drive by, fire away, and then hide behind the gospel. Oh, that's just a gospel. Just me. I'm just translating the gospel to you. Is that really? I'm going to play you this Cardinal Tubin, who is one of the most arrogant of the drive-by clerics from Newark. Then I'll get to what's happening with Pope Leo. Fitzpatrick jumping into the ring. The Archbishop of Philadelphia jumping into the ring. Oh, you can't say that about Pope Leo. Now, look. Trump's ramble and bringing up stuff on crime and all. President's got to focus for once in his life here. But it's the correct thing to take on these drive-by clerics. Do you agree with me on that? All Catholics are going to abandon us come the midterms. Popularity of the Pope in America is much stronger than Trump. Listen to Tubin, this guy who just fires away. And then there's no follow-up. Remember, we played you that from 60 Minutes. There's none of that stuff. These guys fire away, and then they hide by saying, it's the gospel. Read it. Listen to what he says about why ICE wears masks. I'm sorry, Henry. One second. It's my fault. I didn't set up fully. This is with Norah O'Donnell. And again, does he really believe this? I think he does. That's how warped this is. He doesn't want to debate. They wear masks. And you know why? Because of their wife, their kids, and them, what the left will do to them. And I'm so tired of hearing this lame, well, the FBI doesn't wear masks, Brian Fitzpatrick. Stuff it. So listen to Tubin give the reason here why ICE wears masks.
We spoke with the cardinals in the nation's capital. It was a wide-ranging conversation in which they told us Pope Leo inspired them to weigh in on political issues, including the administration's mass deportation efforts. This past January, Cardinal Tobin called Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, a lawless organization.
Cardinal, those are strong words to call ICE a lawless organization. Yeah. Why did you do that?
I didn't say that they were people without law, but when people act in this way, when they have to hide their identities to terrify people, when they can actually violate other guarantees of our Constitution and Bill of Rights, well, I think somebody's got to call that out, and I'm not the only one.
Conor McElroy, we are speaking in a church here in Washington, D.C.
Okay, that's the money there. Thanks, Henry. So he is saying they're lawless. And then is there any follow-up here? Is there any follow-up to a man sitting there? Now, look, I'm not saying these guys are lying. I think they're that much in a bubble including the Pope. They have no sense of reality, and that's what they had to be challenged on. The gospel's not a suicide pact, is it? And that's exactly what would happen if Iran gets a nuclear weapon. Can anybody just lay out, and then immediately you get all the, look, I did the Cardinal show. And with Cardinal Regal, and even unintentionally, they speak in this language because they get away with it forever. You can't get a back and forth going here. Can Nora O'Donnell say, well, wait a minute, what about their wives and kids? What about the argument, she could say, that they're at risk? They're not wearing masks to terrify people. It's not about terrifying people. It's about deporting them if they're here illegally. It's not about terrorizing them. Just think about that. Where's the Christianity here? Where's the, you know, the lecture we get on this? No, it's taking a shot and driving by. That's what this guy does. He reeks of it. So this continues now. This last night, and I wouldn't quite put it the way this, he's a MAGA guy, put it on, well, first of all, let's play last night, Henry. This is the, this is from CNN, the Abby Phillips show. And he talks about the fact that President Obama is involved, the Chicago connection. This is 10. And that David Axelrod, the Axe. Why does David Axelrod get a papal audience with Pope Leo? All he is the guy who gave us Barack Obama. He's a nice enough guy on TV. I mean, you can go back and forth with him, but he's a stone-cold Democrat operative. So listen to this exchange on CNN about this Chicago connection. It's
this
Chicago.
This is 100% political, okay? This is all about trying to hurt President Trump's Catholic vote during the midterms and Republicans during the midterms. If you look at what play out the dots here, David Axelrod goes and visits.
Oh, my God,
the
arrogance of this.
Are you not going to let me finish?
Catholics
let
in
me
the
finish,
world.
Please.
They're all worried about
finish.
Trump's election
you gonna,
in the okay. midterms?
Clearly,
right,
I'm striking a chord here.
Let's let him finish the thought.
David Axelrod goes and visits please. Pope Leo last week. They're talking about Obama going to visit Pope Leo. Pope Leo's from Chicago. All of a sudden, now Pope Leo is out attacking Trump and the policies of the United States and Israel.
All
in
of a
way,
sudden?
Well, in a much more forceful way. You have three cardinals come out today attacking the immigration policy. This is all about trying to get the Catholic vote against Trump. And let me add one more thing.
There's a lot of flaws in this argument.
They're going to succeed.
There's no flaws.
They're going to succeed.
There's no flaws.
Including that none of the things that you're describing
as new are
new. Axelrod
is the chief strategist for Obama.
He's also from Chicago, but that's not why he
went. The Pope is saying he's not political. Why is he meeting with the chief strategist for both Obama's campaigns and in the White House?
The Pope Francis.
Oh, really? Would he have a possible reason to meet with a chief political
advisor? Hold on a second. All right,
Henry, I think we got some flavor there. I think the guy struck a nerve, got them nuts. Yeah, why is he meeting with Axelrod here? These guys are the drive-by clerics who are overtly political, particularly with Trump. Now, Brian Fitzpatrick said that what President Trump has said about Pope Leo, quote, is offensive to Catholics in every corner of the world. All right. Is there anything on this, though? The man who wants us to commit the world to Ukraine. And I would assume he'd be consistent about stopping what's going on from Iran, Brian Fitzpatrick, the congressman, might want to address that part rather than just this attack on Trump. Here's a statement from the Archbishop. But look, I like Archbishop Perez. He used to come on the show. I just found we were never going to talk about anything at all other than, you know, personal stuff back and forth, which was fine. He would come on and say a prayer around Easter. It was all good. But we were never going to talk about, all right, Archbishop, just you have the floor. Tell us for a few minutes, what is a just war? We'd still like to know. These guys still haven't clarified it. So the Archbishop puts out a statement about Trump and about Pope Leo, saying that Pope Leo is a gift for Catholics. Pope Leo has consistently spoken with clarity. Okay, Archbishop, I challenge that. He's not speaking with clarity. These guys don't speak with clarity. When we ask the question, the real world question, about what are we supposed to do with religious fanatics who murder their own people, hang, throw off buildings, gay people, terrorize the entire Middle East, have protests where they scream they're going to wipe out every Jew on the face of the earth. Ballistic missiles launched. Building up a nuclear weapon. Where's the clarity, Archbishop? I'd love to ask you. What is the position of the church on that? You can't answer. And I would trouble me to sit there. You're just going to say it's a gospel piece. And I'm going to say, what do we do here? It's a gospel piece. With clarity and compassion, with calls for peaceful resolutions to complex challenges. Stop with the complex. This is not complex. The world has allowed these religious fanatics, these Satanists among us, to hold people hostage for 47 years. And it reminds me of, growing up in South Philly, you get it after a while. You know what the deal is? Well, can't we talk? You know you can't talk. You know what you have to do with the bully. You know what that means. And they're the bully without even the leverage of the bully. And they're still the bully because they are crazed. They are crazed to get a nuclear weapon. So I would say to the Archbishop, uphold the sanctity and dignity of all human life. Guess what, Archbishop? With all due respect, we are upholding that by stopping these people from continuing to murder people and threaten the world. Are these guys stuck in a time capsule, all of them? The Pope, the Cardinals, the Archbishop here? That they don't realize that we have nuclear weapons now? That they claim to have 11 of them ready to go, they just need the final enrichment? Are they stuck in some time warp that thinks things move in a glacial pace? You sit down, you talk, and all that stuff. Versus, weren't you shocked during this to learn they had ballistic missiles that could reach 2,500 miles? I didn't know that. The experts we had on, some of them said, yeah, we were not sure about that. That's a lot more than we thought. Yeah. So how in the world is the Catholic Church? See, they're emboldened, though, because they're gaining more and more people. Younger people are looking for something, and they see the Catholic Church. Maybe they grew up Catholic, and they're coming back. This is poor leadership at best, and it's political. They are the drive-by clergy. I have not gotten one person coming after me in this. If I had done this 10 or 15, 20, before Francis and Leo, see, here's the flaw with Trump. Trump rambles, starts saying all kinds of, stop it. If you want to take this guy on, and I think it's the right thing to take on the Pope and all these cardinals, you have to take them on precisely on this issue. And you have to call them out. And they can't hide behind the gospel. The gospel is not a suicide pact. It doesn't say peace, peace, peace. We have to let the Iranians terrorize the world now with nuclear weapons. Is that what it says? What page is that on? All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get it. All right, let me give you the side. We have an embarrassment of side riches. They're backing up. I can see them into next week over here.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And one of them is thanks to your Philadelphia Flyers. First time, Henry, back in the playoffs since when?
Since 2020, but it's the first time, because 2020 was the bubble.
Yes, you know,
with the pandemic,
first time
and everything.
With a home game.
First
right.
time having a home game here in Philadelphia since 2018.
Yeah, so 8 years, and I think the NHL used to have the reputation as everybody makes the playoffs. In other words, the regular season doesn't count so much. If the goalie gets hot, quote, stands on his head, that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So over the years, we were lucky enough to have Bernie Perron at 2-7 fishes. All-time character, just amazing. I don't know if we've had other. Oh, yeah, we had Watson at Mulligan's.
You have the rigorous handshake, if
oh
I remember
my God.
Correctly.
Yes, I've never. We were kidding about it. You just could not. You don't want to be doing that handshake. It's like Matt O'Donnell's the nicest guy, and he does it at Channel 6. We say, I can feel the handshake now. It just. You feel like you can't. Hey, I'm tagging out here. My hand is just. Watson's was even more than that. I want the two of them to shake hands and crush each other. Yeah, and he's in his 80s, and he had that type of handshake. You know, and he wanted to chase the puck into the corner. By the way, at Mulligan's, Johnny Z at Mulligan's at 1:30 today, because we had this I just listened to that interview again yesterday with the cop from Phoenixville. Wonderful officer. Great stuff about they want people to drink in order to do the sobriety checkpoint. I'd love to see sobriety checkpoints. I don't know if we can get that film of these people. They're volunteers. They might want to do it. Yeah, here's my sobriety checkpoint film. Wow, it's pretty bad. Don't do this. So due to the Flyers getting in, first home game because of the bubble and all that stuff, so that's 8 years, a lot of excitement. I know the game has changed. There's a number of Americans. After Americans, well, who's second biggest after the Canadians? It wouldn't be Russians. Is it the Finns?
If the Russians could compete, I'd say the Russians, absolutely. Right. But they can't compete, so
Finns?
Who got the bronze this year in the Olympics?
Finns?
Sweden, Finland,
yeah, one of those two. Yeah. So we are looking today for something associated with Canada, Canadians. Now, it really got on my mind because somebody put yesterday, when we were talking about low energy, did you ever hear these Canadians when they do the locker room interview? Now, they have energy when they're throwing back the Molson or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
But when they do those interviews, it's like pulling teeth. My God, I'd hate to have to interview these guys. They're going to say the organization are going to say, Young, put the puck, mucking and grinding.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. You know, if you take away those words, they just have to stack.
So, wait, you don't like the lingo they use?
I just think they're tepid. I think they're low energy.
That too, okay.
Yeah, they're bland. They're polite. It's a politeness as a country. So we're looking for something associated with Canada, the Canadians, and think of people. I'm going to take off the board, of course, maple syrup, Mountie Police. And when I Googled this, Henry, in parts of Canada, they have their milk in bags.
Oh, yeah. It's
what
crazy.
What the heck?
Wow.
Yes. Can you imagine? This is a backward country.
Yeah, you have your, like, it's like a, I guess, a pitcher. You put it in, right? You snip off the corner of the bag.
Right.
And you put the bag in the pitcher. And then when you want milk, you pour the pitcher.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. Wow. All right. They haven't heard of, people on the side of milk boxes.
Right.
What if they put you on the side of the pouch?
The milk bag, yeah.
The milk bag. All right. How about yours?
Yeah. Why don't I start by taking off a flyer? How about my favorite flyer, Travis Konecny?
All right.
Another thing I'll take off. How about the toque? I feel like every time, in America at least, it's like, all right, grab your hat. You know, it's cold outside.
Right.
You don't say grab your toque. You know, I just feel like it's dumb. We don't have a word for winter hat, or we don't use that word. Like, it's there for us. Like, let's use it. I have a pom-pom toque. I like wearing that a lot. It's an easy one. And then how about another person? How about all-time game show host, Alex Trebek?
That's right. Yeah, officially Canadian.
Yeah.
The other thing I think of, the small towns, Flin Flon for Bobby Clark. Oh, my God. I mean, did you know, and I've done events there, they used to be such a thing. Now, this is pretty far back. They all would hang out at Rexy's in South Jersey. You go in there, apparently you would see a whole bunch of Flyers.
Huh, really?
And the Broad Street Bullies are so renowned, I was at a carnival doing a Saturday remote broadcast with Bob Kelly. And people were trying to come up at a church carnival with drinks for him. We're on church grounds there. Like, what the heck? It's a carnival.
Church wine never hurt anybody.
You know, and he goes, well, yeah, I'll take a few more. And when that guy would come on the ice, they called it energy. He just didn't care what was between him and going toward the puck. Everything moved. I've seen ferocious guys.
Oh,
he's in the top five of all time. Yeah. All right, Kirk, how about yours?
I'm going to take two. So an actor, John Candy.
Okay.
And Niagara Falls.
Biggie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Went there a long time ago.
Oh, nice.
All righty. So hit us with that at the end of your call. Get on board the latest installment here of President Trump. And Leo, my only criticism, look, Trump shouldn't have put the Jesus thing in, particularly around this. And you can't ramble with these guys. They live for that. They fire away with you, with willing people in the media, and then they hide. Brian Fitzpatrick jumping into the ring here. You know, Brian Fitzpatrick's the one who wants us to be boots on the ground in Ukraine, I think. And he can't caution and say, look, I don't agree with Trump on this, but the Pope is clearly out of line. There's no clarity with these guys. They don't have to be clear. They're the power inside the church. They do whatever they want. And I think Pope Leo sent the signal and Axelrod sent the signal And the Cardinals couldn't wait. Yeah, let's give Norah O'Donnell, willing dupe, an interview. And the big three, we're going to fire away with Trump, and then we're going to drive by. That's what we're going to do. Trump should answer them, but in the proper manner. They can be dealt with. Don't do what he did, though. Rambling, not so good. Coming up, Utah Valley University. It's in Utah, for heaven's sake. I was just on Newsmax talking about this. When you hear the commencement speaker they picked, and that's where Charlie Kirk was assassinated. I'll give you the lowdown on that. You get in at 855-839-1210.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, it is Dom time. Jeff Andrew here at 1 o'clock today. Johnny Z, an old Jersey show, will be here at 1:30. How do you spot if someone is intoxicated? By the way, we're going to talk to, we had a lot, thanks for all the social media stuff people sent me on this. The people who kind of broke this story, the Commonwealth Foundation, they helped to populate it. It was Chalkbeat. Nate Benefield will be here. About yesterday, the fraud of places in Pennsylvania who are graduating students, they can't get them through any other way, apparently. So they tell them, get a credential. And there are hundreds of credentials that you can get. One of them happened to be ladder safety. If you miss it, I'm not making up. That's what it is. You watch a two-hour video, maybe you don't even watch it. I don't even think there's a test. You check a box, the school says, bang, there's your credential. So when you make the case about why you should be able to graduate, you don't have to show that you know anything. You just hold up these papers. Here's my credentials. Ladder safety. You know what, Henry? It's like Shawshank Redemption. Can you imagine if I'm sitting on the board? I'd like to be on the board. The kid says, yeah, I deserve. Here's my credential. All right, bring in the ladder. I want to bring in the ladder. All right, get up on the ladder. I want something painted up there. And it says multi-ladder. All right, connect the ladder over there. Can't connect it. Reject it. The argument is, what the hell? These kids are never going to know anything. Isn't this what is behind it? Just let them get a high school degree. That's all you have to do. And then everybody's happy. Then they can go off into the world and you can say, I have a high school degree. Okay, get over there and show me that ladder. And the principal saying, well, it's not fraudulent. What if they're going to be firefighters? Another principal, Henry, said, well, what? How do you know they're not going to be assisting roofers? Now they're all going to be roofers and firefighters. And that's why sitting there for 2 hours eating popcorn, maybe, watching the film on ladder safety, that gets you a high school degree. He'll break it down. I'm not making up. You could check it out. Yeah, why not? Why not just go completely fraudulent? Why just say, hey, give them a high school degree on the first day? You know, and if you want to show up, you can. You don't have to show up. Not going to know anything anyhow. All right. Now, Charlie Kirk, the university or college, whatever it is, where he was killed in Utah in a manner that, you know, this isn't someone running up trying to stab him, or this is what they do to presidents. And we're still playing games with the guy who did it. You know that. Well, the university, Utah too, is bringing in as their commencement speaker this woman who clearly is a progressive, who after Charlie Kirk, immediately after Kirk was lying there, shot in the neck and killed with a young family, said, well, you know, that's horrible. But it doesn't stop me, and we shouldn't stop from all the people this guy wronged. And she goes through a litany of leftists on Twitter, this is, Carlson her name is, that Charlie Kirk had besmirched, was racist toward, was hateful, misogynistic. It's not going to stop me from pointing all that out. That's what he was really all about. You mean to say, even if you see the argument here. You're bringing that person in as your commencement speaker, I guess in a few weeks, just after the time. I don't know what anniversary, what did it happen? It seems like it happened in May to me, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it happened in April. The killing of Charlie Kirk. That's who, somebody with that boldly enough to go on Twitter doing that. Now, you talk about callousness, tin ear. And did I mention this university is in Utah and it's where he did the big event? You mean to say September 10th? Well, it was in September. Okay. So it'll be less than a year, even more so when we have the anniversary. And you mean to say you can't find someone coming in who is going to make something good about Charlie Kirk? All right. Lance is going to have to wait. We have a guest in the On Deck Circle. Yeah, we'll go to you soon, Lance. Coming up, something or person all-time Canadian. The Swalwell accusers are out there speaking now. Finally, the media paying attention to that. We're going to talk with a guy I've talked with over the years. They do great work, the Commonwealth Foundation, Nate Benefield, about this Pathways. Who put that in? Wolf, the Wolfman hack. He put this in. All right, you can't graduate. You can present evidence. Hold up all these papers that say this is a credential. Like, I know how to use a ladder safely. You graduate. Hey, Mom! You know, can you, are there going to be a lot of ladders at graduations in the future? What other courses can you hold up as evidence? There's a lot in here, Henry, about cosmetology. And it's not like practical, you know, hours of it. It's like watching a video on cutting hair.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you've learned it. Yeah.
You learned it. Credential. I can cut hair. Well, how do you know he won't be working in a barber shop? But the principal who said, well, the kid could be a roofer. Okay, now. Everybody's going to be a firefighter and a roofer. And that's why they need to know how to use a ladder. 855-839-1210. He's next here on Talk Radio 1210.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
I'm Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, Don Giordano show. We are blessed because we have so much to have to push back on. Josh Shapiro alone is an all-timer here. For years, the Commonwealth Foundation has been there just doing great work documenting what goes on here in Pennsylvania. So we told you yesterday. The broader thing of this Chalkbeat ad about ladder safety, 2 hours online, you get a credential. It goes back to Wolfman Hack, Tom Wolf. We can't get kids through high school. So rather than coming up with something else, we're going to do a credential, Pathways. And you show up with evidence to say why you ought to graduate. Even though by any testing, by any stretch of the imagination, you shouldn't be. Then you tout your graduation numbers. Well, Commonwealth Foundation is on that, and Nate Benefield, their chief policy person, is with us here to lay that out on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Nate, good to talk with you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Well, Nate, I will tell you yesterday, this was both outrageous but entertaining as hell that these kids are watching a two-hour video holding up a piece of paper and saying, pathway, pathway, move out, get out of my way, I graduate.
Yeah, and it's funny, but also sad because this, you know, they put in these standards of, and really responding to the fact that a lot of colleges and, you know, employers were saying, hey, these kids are graduating from high school, they aren't prepared for college, they aren't prepared for the workforce, we need to have better standards. So we added, you know, the legislature added the Keystone exams, the students have to pass this, but there's an exemption because not all kids are great at standardized tests. But now most of the kids are actually going through these exemptions and doing things like, well, I'm showing that I'm qualified by taking an online course, you know, watching a video about ladders so that they're qualified to graduate, even though a majority of kids in Philadelphia are graduating with, you know, not proficient in math and not proficient in reading. They're not actually learning the skills, but they're still graduating because that's the mindset that the school district has to have.
Nate, too, the guy who was the biggest architect of this, to his credit, as I remember at the Keystone statewide, was Ed Rendell. And he took a lot of heat from Democrats on that. Then Tom Wolf comes along and says, nah, we're not going to do that stuff. You know, we have to open this up. So, Nate, I looked at this when you see this Chalk Beat article and some of your commentary, and it's more than just ladders. There's like hundreds of things in here. And I guess if you really had the skill, that might be a skill you can use in the real world. But a lot of it seems to be just checking boxes or watching a video.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of thing on the ladder. I think it was highlighted because it's such a good example, because I know there was in the story saying, well, they might be a firefighter, they might be a roofer.
Yeah.
But are you going to hire someone to go work on your roof because they watched a video about it? Like, I mean, come on. Like, it's not real training.
So, and again, I say that, I want to engage you on this too, because you guys have been one of the real champions on this. The school choice issue coming to a head again. We're up to 29 states now that are taking the new money. It's not being taken from the public schools in the big, beautiful bill. And yet Josh Shapiro is not even standing. He's deciding whether to stand in the schoolhouse door or not. What can you tell us on that? Will Josh Shapiro, or is he going to go to the very last day to make a decision about whether to take the money or not?
Yeah, that's the fear is both him, you know, not doing it and waiting and procrastinating, but even, you know, saying, well, I'm going to do it, but using it as leverage, and that's the fear. But this is a no-brainer that the federal One Big Beautiful Bill included this tax credit where anyone can donate to a scholarship organization to help a kid get a better educational opportunity, whether in private school or tutoring or after-school programs, the kinds of things these students need. And it's no cost to the state, doesn't take anything away from the school district. But the governor has kind of said, well, I'm not so sure. We'll wait and see until all of the regulations are finalized. When already 30 states have said, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to participate. He's out there on kind of an island of like, what's he going to do?
Yesterday, Stacey Garrity opened this front. And again, we see with Swalwell what happened here, but this is a real flaw for Josh Shapiro. And look, I know Mike Vreb over the years. I've interviewed him in person, worked with him on some issues. But the guy apparently had real problems here with sexual harassment. So he gets bounced for that. And then suddenly, taxpayers were on the hook, I believe, for $300,000, something like that, right? And Josh Shapiro just merrily doesn't say anything, covers it up. There's no transparency with this. Why do you think? Is it just that this guy is Teflon? Well, I'll tell you, some of the things I do with other media, like on TV and all, they gush over this guy. They just can't get enough of Shapiro.
Yeah, he is incredibly, I'd say, media savvy in terms of, you know, you see him going, I mean, a lot of things he's doing is going out of state for some of his media appearances and, you know, doing podcasts and the late night TV shows, Bill Maher, those types of things where he's going to get softball questions and talking about, you know, Pennsylvania and being Jewish and not answer the tough questions about like, you know, why, you know, when did you know? What did you know? Right. Why are we, you know, why are taxpayers on the hook for these settlements or even questions about his policy and his state budget? And that's these are things he has not answered some of the questions about governing Pennsylvania.
Parting question for you, Nate. The thing that surprises me about him, and look, when you get away with stuff, when you're saluted as the golden guy, I guess you think you can do anything. Yesterday, last couple of days, he and his lawyers have been saying pretty much, how dare the Mock family? They're the ones that live next door to him and own the property. There's no dispute about that, that he wants to put his wall up on. What the heck is this doing in federal court? This isn't a federal matter. How does he have a tin ear on taking land? Even if it doesn't come up during the governor's race, you got to think when he runs presidentially, they're going to go after him.
Yeah. I mean, my question is, and he says, oh, those doesn't belong in federal court. Well, do state police belong on the disputed land? Because he's having state police out there patrolling this. That doesn't, that's a misuse of taxpayer dollars in my feeling. I know there's, you know, whatever the hell the ever case is decided, you're using state police and taxpayer dollars on your own personal benefit.
Absolutely. Nate, where do we find the Commonwealth Foundation?
You can go to our website. It is commonwealthfoundation.org.
Nate, thank you very much. Keep us in the loop on this, and we'll keep a ladder ready for you.
All right. Thanks so much, Don.
All right. Nate Benefield here. I'm watching during that the Swalwell accusers coming forward, and boy, he's in trouble. Lisa Bloom is the attorney for one of, oh man, that's problematic when she's the attorney for one of the accusers. And it's alleged, they're talking about it, that one of them believed that he drugged her. I mean, it just keeps on getting worse with this guy. You know, the Brazilian nanny, alleged under the table, campaign funds type of deal. It's they knew about this. I mean, everybody knows that they knew about, maybe they didn't know about it to the rampant extent, but they knew about it. And this guy, even after Fang Fang. She may have drugged him. Can you imagine? And what does this guy sit on? All right, if he sits on agriculture, I don't know, maybe the Chinese want to depollinate our pollen or something. Okay.
Write that one down. More lantern flies.
I like right. Yeah, more lantern flies, right? But he sat on intelligence.
That's true.
Oh, it's like the former governor, Jim McGreevy, and the alleged, I'll say that, but appears to be relationship with this guy. He made him the head of Homeland Security for New Jersey. I mean, come on. You know, you put him on agriculture again. Lantern flies. You don't make him the head of Homeland Security for New Jersey. What do you think's going to happen here? God. 855-839-1210. So Lisa Bloom is the daughter of, why am I blanking on her name? She's the pride, well, I don't know about Pride of Philadelphia, the all-time female attorney who you don't want on the other side.
Lisa, Gloria Allred?
Yeah, Gloria Allred from Central. And Lisa Bloom is every bit the same kind of media campaign, et cetera. So the Swalwell thing's not going away anytime soon. But you see what they did in Congress. They bounced. They got rid of one of the guys, Mike Johnson. All right, I'll trade you this guy, and we're going to take Swalwell out. And they're, you know, now they're moving on to another Democrat who has had problems, and they're trying to see, is there a Republican so they can keep the even balance going here? Unbelievable. All right, Lance, we're coming to you. Hit us all time. Something connected to Canadians. And coming up, isn't it a truism that hockey, even though it's not our prime sport, is much better?
You think, I mean, it's a prime sport? Who's got the gold medal right now? Not the boys up north.
Right, but I mean, it's still not a prime sport here. I don't think it's ever going to be basketball, even. Come on. And baseball and football.
The way the NBA is going, I wouldn't count it out.
All right. I'll amend it slightly here. Why it's better than soccer, okay? Even though you're not going to get 500,000 people watching a hockey game, I don't think, frozen on a pond here in Philadelphia. What's it going to be like when the soccer hordes hit Philadelphia? Oh, my goodness. 855-839-1210. You get on board. You know, spring is here, and it's time to get moving, exploring, and enjoying whatever activity awaits you this season. But if stiff, achy joints are holding you back, listen up. Glyco Plus is your ultimate joint health companion. It's an advanced blend formulated specifically by Rescue Natural Supplements to help you keep your joints flexible and moving comfortably. And right now, listeners can buy one, get one free. Use that code RELIEF. Powered by patented collagen and a research-backed green-lipped muscle complex, Glyco Plus supports healthy cartilage and actually helps to cushion joints for smoother movement and reduce stiffness, promoting better overall mobility, you'll notice over time. Just go to res-q.com. Use that code RELIEF. Buy one bottle of Glyco Plus, get one free. Or call a product consultant, 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Start embracing an active life with comfort today. Shop Glyco Plus at res-q.com. Use that code RELIEF, R-E-L-I-E-F.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Ah, yes, one of the all-time great Canadian singers. 855-839-1210. That's aside today. Something Canadian. Now, hockey is much better than soccer, even though there's not a huge amount of scoring. There's enough shots that are actual potential. there are enough crashes that are legal, things of that nature. And there's just enough all-round action in front of the net versus what happens in soccer where you can't even substitute. You have shift changes constantly. So, you know, the idea that somehow, you know, I'm just getting ready for this World Cup coming here, Henry. How many years have we, this goes way back to when the U.S. women won, and I guess they beat China in that game that where the one took off and just had her sports bra on, the brandy something. Yeah. Yes, yeah. It goes back that far. That's 27 years, we were told, we'll be inundated. Now, you got a lot of kids who can't play any other sport killing grass across suburban America every Saturday morning with so-called soccer moms. But it hasn't taken off, and I don't think it ever will. Just the word nil being in it is enough to stop it, that you need that word.
I do think the taking off has been greatly over-exaggerated. I do think the women took off before the men, and that's why the women's team is so much better results-wise than our men's team. I do think if this – like, I think about, like, Landon Donovan, like, 10 years ago, 10 or so years ago, playing for the U.S. team and what he kind of did to progress U.S. men's soccer forward, not to the extent of the women – but just enough that it's like, you know what, maybe we get some good players in here. And 10 years later, yeah, we do have players that are playing overseas in the Premier League.
Yeah, I meant got, watching it.
Oh, well, watch. Well, that's the thing. It's going to get better as we get better. I really do think that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the product here is as good as it is overseas, and we have a few players overseas. And I think once people stateside can see we have a product that can contend with, you know, the Englands, the Spains, the Germanys, like all of them, Argentina, whatever it may be, I think then maybe it'll be a change of heart. But I tend to kind of agree with you where it's like right now it's still kind of boring for us.
Yeah, it is. And playoff hockey with the Flyers now, this is an exciting time, big time. And the Sixers are in a play-in game. Oh, man, my fingers are crossed.
I kind of want to go. Yeah, the tickets are cheap.
Oh, they are. They're not $5, are they?
No, no, not that bad. Like 25.
Let's start off with Lance in South Philly. Hey, Lance, good afternoon. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Dom. You know, I've always had been a kindred spirit with hockey, and I tell you why. It's the missing teeth. And I had my tooth knocked out in a fight in the 10th grade at South Philly High, and I never had it replaced. So hockey is far better than soccer.
Yes, definitely.
But you know, when I swallowed the tooth because it never hit the ground.
Yikes. Oh, my God.
Get that out.
Hey, Lance, when were you at South Philly High? Because, you know, I did my student teaching there. And when I'm there, the food riots were going on.
86 to 87.
I was there a little bit before. So, Lance, one kid's trying to drown another kid in a vat of mashed potatoes. Giant vat. He's got his head stuck down there. We're pulling him off with a fight. Can you imagine? You get drowned in mashed potatoes. Kid came out of there.
Listen, it was gladiator school.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
I also got cut with a razor there.
Oh, man.
Under my nose. My nose.
Nice. Unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, me, I hockey, I like when they drop the puck and they don't even go for it. They just start fighting. That's the best. You never see that in soccer. Maybe they pull up their socks or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's your side today, Lance?
And my side is beer with the Canadians.
Yeah, they seem to be enormous beer drinkers, without a doubt. They don't seem to be into cocktails or whatever. But what's up with the milk inside packets or inside packages?
I agree. I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
They both seem equally wasteful. Like, if it's like we're trying to save the environment, it's like you're putting it in a bag, man. Like, I get it, our carton's not much better, but you're putting it in a bag.
What I don't get about the Canadians, it's a rough-and-tumble country, wilderness, the hockey players, no teeth, right? The truckers. And yet, they are much more of a progressive government. They're almost like being in Europe. The Trudeaus, and particularly Trudeau. You mean to say these guys wouldn't pummel him if they saw this guy walking around? Trudeau, come on. How is their government so much different? Remember that we played the woman last week? I don't know if you still have that one. The woman who was decrying attacks on not just LGBTQ+, but she was decrying attacks on whole new categories of people. It took up almost every letter in the alphabet. Well, there were a lot of M's in there. And these are people that are everyday people that you see in Canada that are inside the mainstream. So why is that country dominated by stuff like that when they strike me as the ultimate type of thing, you know, the ultimate type of wilderness, et cetera? Okay, coming up, we're going to talk with Congressman Jeff Van Drew. A lot to report on with him. And Philadelphia passes 7 bills on ICE. Here's what you should know. Here's my prediction. Well, they passed it yesterday, the final passage coming up. They're going to pass it, though. One of them allows Larry Krasner to sue every ICE agent imaginable. Now, he wouldn't win, but you know and I know he's going to sue them. If they wear a mask, if they gather in certain places, if they don't do X, Y, or Z, Krasner can sue them or arrest them, I guess, and sue them. I'll tell you about all of those. And can you imagine, as bad as it is, having to deal with that? All right. So a little bit later on, we're going to talk with Johnny Z at Mulligan's. That cop we had on yesterday, the officer from Phoenixville, it was great stuff. 150 times he's had people do the sobriety checkpoint. Apparently, it's a little bit harder to do than you think. I'm going to ask Johnny, who runs Mulligan's, well, how do you make a determination if a person's had enough? The guy yesterday said 4 vodkas in an hour. What? I wouldn't even dare think about that. You know, what proof is vodka? You know, the Russians look fine. They walk around, and when they hit 70, they just drop dead right there. They joke about it. Can you imagine all day long these guys drinking vodka? Come on. What do you think is going to happen? Henry, you're not saying anything. It's your drink of choice, I guess.
It's not. Maybe in college it was. Not so much anymore. Right. But yeah, like 4 vodkas in an hour in college. I was like, yeah,
it's pretty good.
We're off to a great start.
All right. And the accuser today for Swalwell and Lisa Bloom saying they suspect and maybe they have evidence that he drugged them. It just doesn't get any worse. And this guy was the worst on the attack. 855-839-1210. Grab a line.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210. WPHD.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.